We certainly appreciate that. Hopefully you got the message this morning about the grace of God. You know, the grace of God is not only a wonderful revelation, or not only a great proclamation, though, to everybody who's not saved, because it's the grace of God that will save you, but it's also a reminder of everybody who's been saved, even if you've been saved for decades, to remind you that you didn't get here because you were so good, and you were such a jewel that God found. You weren't a diamond in the rough. You were the rough. You weren't something that was beautiful. You weren't something that he just, boy, if I've found something nobody else saw. He saved us because of his wonderful love and grace.
Amen.
He didn't think he was getting a good deal. He didn't make an investment in us that some of these days would really turn out good and that we'd finally do something for him, and he put enough in us, and now when I really look at the returns of his investment, it's all been God, all from the beginning. It will all be God all the way to the end. It's the grace of God that we're here today. And it just knocks the clout out of anybody, knocks the props out from underneath any of us when we start thinking too high for ourselves. And so praise the Lord for the grace of God. Well, I want to preach this morning about the providence of God, and that's the title, The Providence of God, in Genesis chapter number 50, if you find your place there in Genesis 50. While you find your place in Genesis 50, the last chapter of that book, there was this fellow that was a young single guy on this airplane, and so he was flying to somewhere, and he was trying to talk amongst people. There was a beautiful lady that I figured was single from her conversation, and he just got striking up a conversation with her, just thinking, well, maybe, who knows, sparks might fly on this airplane. It might be a wonderful thing. And so he asked her, he said, well, what kind of man do you like? And she said, well, I like those Native Americans with that high cheekbone, that beautiful tan skin, bronze skin. And he said, oh yeah, I got you. He said, also though, love those, some friends of mine, Jewish men, that they're a brilliant business mind, just a wonderful person in the business world. And she said, I'm attracted to that. And he said, okay. And then she said, but then also sometimes, you know, I just like a good old boy from the South, that Southern drawl really gets me. And he said, oh, okay, good, good, good. And then she said, well, what's your name? He said, well, my name's Geronimo Bernstein, but my friends call me Bubba. So, you're in your place in Genesis chapter 50. I want to look at verse number 19 down to about 21. And this is that famous passage when you get there where Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And if God will help me over the next 20 minutes or so, I want to preach to you the burden that's on my heart. And I'll get ahead of myself. I'll get back to the scripture in just a minute. But I'm afraid that we've taken some words from the world, and I'd like for us to see that, like for us to change some of our terminology and our thinking about how we say things. I'm not so worried about
the words that we say, although we should be careful about that. But sometimes we'll tell people when we leave them, well, don't work too hard. Well, really, we should say, well, work hard all the time. You're getting paid for it. And I know we sometimes say things, and I'm not specifically trying to get somebody on a technicality. But we borrow words from unsaved people, and then we also borrow, though, the thinking of somebody who's not a Christian. And what I'm specifically talking about is when you tell somebody, well, good luck. Well, your luck really doesn't have a lot to do with a Christian's life. We believe in the providence of God. Luck is defined as this: success or failure brought by chance. I know what some of you are thinking, that classic old song, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. A few of you remember that classic, right? Luck, success or failure brought by chance. Somebody would say, well, Joseph was awful lucky. His brothers were mean to him, but luck prevailed, and he finally got to somebody that could, he sold as a slave, but then lucky for him, he got noticed and he got brought up to a part of power. But then bad luck came because the guy that he was in power with, his wife got it out for him and he went back down. But lucky for him, you see what I'm saying? We sometimes get luck confused with the providence of God. Joseph, you remember, he was sold by his brothers. He was falsely imprisoned, but God still elevated him, and he was used of the Lord. Okay, let's look at our text. Verse number 19 of Genesis 50. Jacob, his dad, has died. And Joseph said unto them is the brothers, his brothers, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Question mark. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Look up at verse number 14, just to give us all the context. Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. How many of you understand? If he did, that means, well, that's what goes around comes around. That's what happens. We don't say what goes around comes around. We'd spiritualize it and say, well, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm just helping God. But his brother said, boy, he's really going to have it out for us now. We feel like his meanness, his judgment was held off because daddy was alive. But now daddy's dead. It's going to be rough on us. And so they conjured up a lie and said, well, dad said this before he died, that you were supposed to be nice to us. And that's what prompts the answer of Joseph. You meant it for evil. But he could see the providence of God and see, but God meant it for good. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you bless our time here today. I pray that you would move in the hearts of us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would encourage and strengthen your people today. And Lord, as always, we pray if there's somebody or several someones that's not sure of heaven, not sure they know Christ as Savior, Lord, I believe you've providence. A spiritual sense, sovereign is God. He's the supreme permanent authority, and he is. He may set up one, he may take down another, but he's the supreme permanent authority. And then the other word I'd like to define for you today is just providence. And that's defined as this, the protective care of God. So God is moving in your life and in my life in his providence to play out his sovereignty. His sovereignty is he's controlling everything, and his providence is how he moves and gets it all done. So just get those out of the way. I'd like for us to see tonight or today that our God is sovereign, and the specific way in which he works is the providence. We as Christians, as I already alluded to, have acted sometimes like we're victims of luck, good or bad. But if we're victims of luck, what do we do with Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, which most of you know? And we know the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How do we explain bad luck when that happens? Because bad luck might be the good thing that God wanted to do in our lives. We just didn't know it looked so good until later when we can look back on it. And some of the worst things that happened in your life have actually turned out to be the best things in life because what you thought was a bad thing turned out to be a good thing, and that turned out to be the best thing, and here you're sitting today. And so we understand that if we truly look at a scriptural way, we can't say, wow, luck or this or that. Instead, the Lord is working. So I'm in the sovereign hand of God, and he moves with providence to accomplish his will in my life. Can I look to show you in verse number 20 the fact of providence? The fact of providence is found in verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. There was an old preacher that gave a story one time, and he was a preacher in the 30s, the 1930s, so almost 90 years ago now. And he said that he got paid a little less than $10 a week for his charge, for his church. And he said that times were tough, as they were for everybody in that time in our nation. He said we had just done, we'd taken all the ingredients that we had, and some of them were out of, were bad for that matter, but they'd made some biscuits. He said we ate those biscuits as a family for lunch. And they weren't as bad when they were hot as they were going to be at supper when they were going to be cold, but that's when they would be having them the next time. And this little five-year-old of his prayed this, I'm quoting, "Dear Lord Jesus, help me to eat these biscuits or else send some better ones." And that preacher gave the testimony that later that evening, a knock on their door came. Again, knowing that this, and it's so hard for us in the current culture to realize when we say they didn't have anything, they meant they didn't have anything. We don't have anything, but you can always make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We don't have anything, but you can always find some bologna or ham or something. You can find some soup in a can, but they didn't have anything. So those biscuits were going to be supper. And so that preacher, with tears on his eyes, I'm sure, said, gave the story that later towards supper time, there was a knock at their door and a man from their church who had a bread route had come, and he dropped off all kinds of things, sweet rolls and buns and biscuits, white bread, dark bread. But here's what the marvelous thing was. That guy said, "I was tired and I was in 7 miles out here to your house and the pouring rain seemed so far. I was tempted to wait till tomorrow to bring these by, but I was strongly constrained to come tonight." I'm just looking at how God works in our lives, and I cannot bring myself in good conscience to say, boy, God's people are sure lucky. I see the fact of providence, because as Joseph told his brothers, guys, you can settle down. I've got the power to have each of you executed. I could have done it long ago. I didn't do it then. I'm not going to do it now, because you meant some things for evil in my life, but God meant them for good. And we would do well if we would remember that God is working in our lives even when we don't see what's happening. If you or I had been giving Joseph commentary or counsel on the days when he was taken down to the pit and then to the prison, if we'd have been given commentary on that day, we'd have said, well, I don't know. It sure doesn't look good. I'm going to pray for you, but you must have some kind of something wrong in your life somewhere. We would have probably given wrong counsel to him, not realizing that God was orchestrating a plan in that young man's life to save the entire region, and he was going to do it by the providence that God ordained. But I not only see the fact of providence here in verse number 20, but I want you to go back one verse and look at verse number 19, and I see the safety in providence. The safety in providence is found in verse number 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, am I in the place of God?" Am I in the place of God? There's a line that God won't allow you to cross, and there's that safety in there. Joseph had found that safe space, as some people have mentioned today. He had found that safe space by realizing that he didn't have to have it all figured out. And I'd like to tell the crowd that's looking at me right now, we would do well to get to that safe space and realize that God's got it figured out. I don't have to. Because there's too much going on that I can't explain. There's too many things happening that I can't come to a rational conclusion on. There's the safety of providence. There's a saying going around now, and maybe for a while, but the saying is, not my circus, not my monkeys. And what that means is, when somebody's looking in on some horrendous scene, they say, not my circus, not my monkeys, meaning, I'm not in charge of this. I'm not in charge of who's in this. I'm not responsible for what goes wrong because of this. It's not my circus, not my monkeys. And so I realize that as you go and you look at this world and you look at some things that you don't understand why they're in such upheaval, it truly is not your circus. It's not your responsibility to control the players of it. And I'm seeing not only the fact of the providence of God, but I see the safety in that, because it puts us back in our spot to say, I am who God's made me to be. But even in saying that, I'm remembering that God made me. I didn't make Him. And so God's got it figured out, even when I do not have it figured out. Or as Joseph said, am I in the place of God? And the obvious answer is no. And so there's safety when you realize that God is working in providence, which again is the protective care of God. God's providence is working in your life, and He's doing something. Let me give you a little exercise. You ready for this, for our thinking? Do you have free will? Yes or no? Yeah. Will God let you do whatever you want? No, there's a line He won't let you cross. You say, where's that line? I don't know. Depends on what situation it is. There are certain things that you couldn't accomplish with you and 10 of your biggest friends because God won't let it happen. I don't know what those things are. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I don't know what all of them are. But I'm saying, yes, we have free will, but does God let us do whatever we want? No. And I'm telling you, there's safety in knowing that God is in control. It sets your mind, it sets my mind at ease because I'm sure not in control of this place. Give you another illustration. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 16, there is a sin unto death. Teaches as a Christian that God chastens you as a Christian. God tries to pull you back. He convicts you first, but then He chastens you, tries to get you back in line. And eventually the Bible teaches that you just keep on running headlong away from where God wants you to do. Eventually He'll take you on to Him. So does God let you choose what you do? Yes. Does He let you choose the outcome of what happens because of your choices? No. So I'm saying this morning that there is safety in the providence of God. You remember that Joseph's brother wanted to kill him, right? They brought him out there. They were sick of him. He's the favorite child. We're tired of dad hearing all these saying all these things about him. They want to kill him. Judah said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. There's some folks coming over the hill. Let's sell them to in slave trade. And you ask yourself the question, what if they had killed him? What would have happened to all the people of Egypt? God didn't let it happen. So now we have the beauty of looking back on it, hindsight, but those brothers plus 10 other sets of brothers wouldn't have been able, I don't believe, to take the life of Joseph because God had big plans for Joseph. It wouldn't have mattered what guerrilla warfare they brought, wouldn't have mattered what weapons they brought, wouldn't have mattered all the strategy they'd put forth to try to kill that one boy. I don't believe they could have because God had a plan for him. I'm saying there's safety in the providence of God. Can I give you this last one where I want to spend a few moments? In verse number 21, if you look down there, because here's where I think some of us get held up. There's the freedom in providence. 21 says this, now therefore fear ye not. This is right on the heels of his brother saying, please don't kill us. Dad said don't do it when he goes, and he didn't, but they lied. And Joseph, he said, you meant it for evil, God meant it to good. But verse 21, now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I talked to you about the fact of providence. It's just God's workings and the safety in that to realize that you're not in control of it. It's not your responsibility to make all these things go round. But then I want to give you this last one, and that's the freedom. The freedom of providence. Let me explain. How does it free you? It frees you to let you just let God be God and you be nice. Joseph wasn't much different than any of us. He had flesh and he had desires. What would you want to do if your brother sold you as a slave? First of all, they put you down in the pit, and then they finally said, wait, we can make a little bit of money or yank him back out of there, and we're going to sell him. Well, he had emotions just like you have emotions. He said, well, as soon as I get a hold of Judah, I'm going to, God let me alone with him for 5 minutes. I'll teach him. And now Joseph has the wherewithal to do something about all those emotions that he'd had for those years. Don't you all get mad at people? Or is this the wrong crowd? Maybe that's that other church. Those people down there, they do. We all do. Amen. We're going to fix them. As soon as I get in a position to do it, I'm going to let them have it. As soon as I get the wherewithal to right this wrong, I'm going to right it. Or, as I said before, we spiritualize it. Said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God, I'm just helping you out. I'm going to go make them reap what they sowed. But I'm telling you that the providence of God, knowing that God's working in the lives of you and the working of other people's lives, in that the fact of providence allows us to have the freedom of providence. And here's what we do sometimes. We spend our days trying to right every wrong, make insinuations about different people, snub everybody who was unkind to us in another instance in life. We gossip about those, but only the ones that deserve it. And we talk mean about people, to people, around people, behind their back, in front of their back. And we try to make sure that we're the agent of God. We say, we're going to make them pay. But what did Joseph do? He said, guys, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your youngins. I'm going to make sure everything's right. He divorced himself from his emotions that would have had to have been in his life that screamed out for him to make them pay. And so do you see what I mean about the freedom of the providence of God? God's got it all worked out. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And that allows us freedom to just be nice. Yeah, but so-and-so did something wrong. And here's what many of people find ourselves in the trap of. We feel that we have to stoke the fires of some cause because if we let that fire go out, maybe people won't know how that person mistreated me back years ago. Now, let me give a little time out. I'm not talking about legalities when people do something wrong and injure or abuse. I'm not talking about those kind of things. Those have to be taken to legal matters. But I'm talking about those matters of our emotions. When sometimes we feel like we've got to keep a cause going because I just don't like that person over there. Let me give you one last little Bible exercise. Look back, if you will, in Genesis 42, verse number 36. You're in 50, just go back a few pages. When you get there, you're going to find where Jacob, Joseph's daddy, is asked by his brothers to now take Benjamin. That's the other brother. You know, Joseph and Benjamin, they were the full brothers. They were the favorites. They were the little guys. And the brothers are asking Jacob to take Benjamin back down to Egypt because Joseph, although they didn't know it was Joseph, Joseph disguised, said, you don't bring the younger brother, you're not going to get any more grain the next time. And so they're trying to explain that to their dad. Dad, he said, if we don't bring Benjamin back, we ain't getting no food, not this time. And he says this in verse number 36 of chapter 42. Let me get there. Jacob, Joseph's dad, has his own little pity party right here. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. So here's what he said. You done killed off Joseph. Well, they didn't know. He didn't know at that point they killed off Joseph. They knew he killed off Joseph. They tried to send off Joseph. Joseph is not. He's dead. You brought me that cloak back and had the blood on it and the coat of many colors, all that. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And now you want to take Benjamin? All is against us. That's what the scripture says. He says, all these things are against me. Do you ever get in that position where you feel like everybody's against me? Nothing's going right for me. It just won't go my way. I can't do right. I can't get things done for me for right, no matter how hard I try. But let's investigate that. He said Joseph is not, meaning he's dead. Was that true? No. He was the second in command in the powerhouse Egypt of the region. And the biggest power, superpower there. Joseph was second. He was fine. Simeon is not. because Simeon had stayed down. You remember the story, he had stayed down. That wasn't true either. Simeon was on a spa day. Because you know as soon as those brothers left, Joseph, he didn't tell him, he may not have told him who he was, but he said, make sure that guy's got everything he wants. He was on a spa day down there. And you will take Benjamin also, who knows what's going to happen to my baby boy? Nothing was going to happen to his baby boy. Because Joseph only wanted to bring Benjamin down so he could put his arms around his full brother and give him every desire on Benjamin's heart. Yet Jacob saw it as, all these things are against me. Did you ever get that way? I think we have. I think we've gotten to a place where we feel like this is going wrong and that's going wrong and that's going wrong and that's a train wreck and that's horrendous and boy, I didn't even want to investigate that anymore. But I'm telling you, the freedom in remembering and reminding yourself that God's in control. You say, how? Yeah, but how do you reconcile all of that providence of God with the bad choices you make and there's some consequences on those? I don't. But I just know that as Joseph said to his brothers, people may have meant it for evil, but God's providential hand was working behind the scenes and he meant it for good. So the providence of God, which is, again is the protective care of God, kept Joseph alive, it kept his brother, his family alive, and it kept the whole region alive. I'd say Joseph wasn't a lucky guy. I'd say the providential hand of God was leading, guiding, and protecting that lucky guy. And I think that we ought to take a better view of our life as well. Sometimes you think, I can't believe all these things have befallen me. Why hath all this befallen us? And you're going to have to step back after you take inventory, see if there's anything you need to fix between you and the Lord. And when you say, Lord, as far as I know, everything's clear. Then just realize that the Lord's in control and he, like Joseph, will show you eventually why these things have come upon. Because of the providence of God. And so perhaps you're here today wondering, fretting, worrying about some things going on in your life. Can I just remind you of something you already know? Our God's bigger than whatever problem's going on in your life. And he may be having you down in the pit right now, maybe in the prison, but he can put you up to the palace just as soon as he wants to. It's the providence of God because he's sovereign. And perhaps you're here today. We talk a lot about God's amazing grace in the song service, and now we're talking about God moving things and manipulating events and making them work in your life. Perhaps you're here today and you'd say, Brother John, I'm not sure that I'm even on my way to heaven. Can I tell you, it's not by accident that you're sitting here in this church or you're listening on the radio or you're watching on live stream. It's not by accident. I believe God lined up these events so you would hear about how God lines up events, so you'd take inventory in your life and see that you're here listening for a purpose. You're sitting here because God wanted you to be here. And I believe he wanted you to be here so you would hear about that amazing grace of God that we sang about. And here's what that amazing grace boils down to. That amazing grace is that you and I are sinners in need and deserving an eternity in hell away from God because of our sins. You say, oh, that's harsh. Not as harsh as where we're going, where a person deserves to go because of their sin. But that the grace of God brought the Lord Jesus Christ down from heaven's glory, and he lived on this earth 2,000 some odd years ago, died on an old rugged cross, was buried 3 days, and then rose again for your sins and for mine. That is the grace of God. He did all that so that you and I could put our faith, our belief, our trust in him alone as Savior, so that we could go to heaven where we don't deserve and we could skip hell where we do deserve. And that, my friend, is the grace of God. Somebody's made a cross, they can put it like this: grace, G, God's R, riches. A, at. C, Christ. E, expense. So grace could be described as God's riches at Christ's expense. But you and I, because of the grace of God, can enjoy heaven forever because of Jesus and what He did. So if you need to be saved, I pray that you would today. That's our prayer every Sunday. And then if you are saved, let's quit worrying about every little thing that happens when you don't have any control over it anyways. Just realize that God in His providence is working. Even sometimes when we sit back and scratch our head and say, Lord, I'm not sure on this one. I bet Joseph had a lot of those moments. But let's trust in God and His providence. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank You for this time to be together, Lord. I pray that we would help, You would help us see through a lot of the events that happen in our lives that, Lord, You're at work. Lord, help us to be as Joseph was. Divorcing ourselves from the emotions of wanting to retaliate. And help us instead, dear Lord, to trust Your working. In Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies begin to play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure you're saved. Would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit we preach from. I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe the providence of God brought you here. Maybe you'd like to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Would you step out and come meet Daniel down at the front? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized in deep water after you got saved. You've never followed Christ in that. You'd like to present yourself for baptism. We'll do it in a service real soon. Would you come out and, or step out and come, I should say. As they continue to play, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you come? We'd love to have somebody pray with you, offer that to you. Thank you so much. You may look this way, and we are certainly thankful to see each of you this morning. Thank you for being here. It was good to see Roger and Sheila Ball up there, and they were here. Of course, his sweet mother's service was this week, and wonderful Christian lady, and so good to have you all up there, and good to have each of you. And we're so thankful that this morning, Morgan and Mariah Edwards have come forward and they're saved and baptized and they've been here coming. They're such a blessing to us, to Amy and I and to many of the church, and so we're thankful for him. Morgan was helping over in our, when we were doing a ladies conference, and we didn't even wait to get him working. I tell you, he was slinging bacon and whatever else we were having for those ladies. And so we are thankful for them. And they've saved and baptized and desire to unite fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm so excited about that. And we need a motion to move that. Brother Shannon Barker makes that motion. Brother Larry Stover seconds that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right. Well, it's a wonderful day. Thank you so much for you being here. And I'm going to have them stay here for just a little bit, and you get by and meet them and make it easy on them, connect the dots of who you are and how you are. We were hoping that Bob Edwards The other Bob Edwards would be here, but that's Morgan's granddad. And but his health is just didn't allow it this morning. So we keep praying for Bob, and the Lord would strengthen him. And we're looking forward to when we get back here in his seat back this way. And just so you can make that connection. But thank you again for being in church. And after we pray, we're going to ask you, as many of you can slip by and meet Morgan and Mariah. And they're a real blessing to us. And know they will be to you as well. And then we ask Brother Josh Florence, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table. And you can slip by and see him. He's a wonderful missionary that we support, but it's just a joy to have him come in. And come back tonight. We'll get to see him a little bit more and get to also hear a little bit more about the ministry and just know better how we can pray for him. And then also tonight, sorry to make this announcement, but we will have our Equip series. Now, we've done the Equip series in a variety of fashions. Sometimes we move out to other, we break out into other sessions and whatnot. But for this one, for each of the rest of the Sunday nights in October, we will be looking into the Equipped to Serve. And it'll be a spiritual gifts study about the Holy Spirit. And so Brother Dan will be heading that up, and so he'll start tonight. And we will come in, have normal service in here, but then we won't break up because all of us will go. It is an Equip series because this specific topic I want everybody to get a hold of about sometimes we get frustrated because we're not operating in the Spirit's power as we're, even while we're doing good things. And so that'll start tonight in the evening service, but we won't break up and go anywhere. We'll stay right here. And so I just want to clear that up for everybody. So there we have it. Brother Daniel, would you come and pray and dismiss us? After he prays, stop by and see the Edwards and welcome them into our church. Stop by and see Brother Josh Florence on your way, and I'll be back in the lobby as well. If you need anything from us, please stop by and see Amy and I.
Father, thank you so much for the wonderful morning that we've had at church today. Lord, it's a beautiful day outside, and Lord, just a sweet spirit in here, and we thank you for working in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the message, the songs, and Lord, we thank you for everybody here. I pray you bless us as we go. Help us to take these things forth from here to go in your grace and see all that you desire to accomplish in our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd bless in a special way this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.